On the 25th of October 1990, 3CR Radio broadcast live from the Melbourne Town Hall, where Nelson Mandela had come to address the Victorian trade union movement. He'd come to thank them for their solidarity work and for their support in bringing down the apartheid system in South Africa. 3CR programmers Deb Welsh and the late Lisa Belair hosted the broadcast, assisted by technician Greg Siegel. Today we're pleased to bring you the archived recording of the event in full. It features Alf Bamblett, Martin Ferguson, Bill Kelty, Tracy Onis, John Halfpenny and others, and of course, the late Nelson Mandela.
In the background you can hear the Dream Cafe Orchestra, Cafe Band, but they're getting great, but they're a bit too much causing a ruckus
for my life.
Anyway, it's coming, it's past 25 minutes to 4 o'clock, so we can gather that perhaps Nelson Mandela is arriving somewhere in the foyer at the moment. We can expect him to walk in.
Well, I know he's in Melbourne because I saw him with the Premier this morning on the TV.
Good on you, Lisa, this is why you've been on the ball. And when he does come in, he's going to be on stage with a delegation of people from the ANC as well. Along with Nelson Mandela, there'll be Thomas Nkobe, Stanley Mabuzela, Eddie Funde, who's the Australian rep for the ANC up in Sydney, and Barbara Masekela, who does happen to be Hugh Masekela's sister, the African performer. And also be on stage with union people Martin Ferguson, Bill Kelty, John Halfpenny and Helen McCaw, who's from the ACTU aid organisation AFIDA. And also Alf Bamblett will be up there on the stage with you, Lisa.
Oh, well, hooray, we've finally got some participation and representation.
OK, and Alf Bamblett, we also caught up with earlier this week to get his views on what's been a controversial subject this week, Mandela's presence here in Australia and comments or lack of comments on the Aboriginal issue. So let's have a listen to Alf, and probably in just a minute we'll be expecting the arrival of Nelson Mandela here at the Town Hall.
I would hope that by Thursday, when he does his last public thing here, that he does make a statement. He makes some sort of acknowledgement of the problems that exist in Aboriginal Australia, towards Aboriginal Australia in this country. And I just hope that I'm not really disappointed at the end of the time about it all. I would also say that, look, Nelson Mandela will be here, he will be gone. The Queen's been here, she's been gone. I remember not so long ago one of the Vice Presidents was here and they were gone, and perhaps even Monday we might get the President. He'll be here and he'll be gone. But the way things are, our struggle will remain. And our struggle is going to remain until such time as we achieve the status in this country that is rightfully ours. And that's not going to be... That's not going to be Friday. That's not going to be, within the next short period of time. And it's something, I guess, that we need to keep in mind so that we continue to push for those things that are rightfully ours. And one is the acknowledgement that we were here first. This is our land. Second one is that we have never, ever ceded sovereignty in this nation, and thirdly, that until such time as that the true history of the colonisation or the invasion of this country is known and understood by all Australia, then there can be really no the whole system that this country operates is based on a lie, and there can be no real justice and there can be no real peace. The battle will have to go on. That's it.
That's true, what Alf said. The battle will go on. I guess one of the things, given that we're here and it's a trade union sponsored function, it's very important that, I guess Koori people do become involved in the trade union movement. I mean, we're involved in everything else, but it's another area. I've always been a member of a union. I'm one of the fortunate people in my circle of friends has actually got a job and got a permanent job at that. I believe in the principles of unions, Sometimes you might not agree with what they do, but it's important that we do get in there and support the rights of the worker and of the unions. Now, the Trades Hall has recently employed a Koori person, Tracy Onis, to be the trade union representative. What I would like to say is that with trade unions, that if you're really serious about your commitment to Kooris, then you should look at sponsoring a position, a Koori trade union worker, out of your funds. I'm a paid-up member of the union, and I'm more than happy for part of my union fees to go towards employing a Koori person.
Well, we just have heard that Nelson Mandela has arrived and is in the foyer, and I think I can see, if I just crane my head over the balcony, in fact, a lot of photographers getting ready. I'm not that close to the balcony, Lisa. I'm not in any particular danger. A lot of photographers are looking, and I think we're now expecting Nelson Mandela to arrive, and you can hear the applause.
People are standing up. One day they'll be clapping an Aboriginal person like this.
As you can hear, Nelson Mandela and the entourage have arrived into the town hall, and we'll probably be pretty well handing over to the MC Robin Archer from here on in. But
okay, well, my final comment is, don't forget, this is a great moment, but you're on Aboriginal land. Pay the rent, land rights now.
So we'll hand over now to up on the stage and the MC for today's afternoon speech here by Nelson Mandela. Who's Robin Archer? Comrades, can I ask you to remain standing for the anthem of the African National Congress and the Australian National Anthem? Could you please remain standing?
Oh, I would now like to introduce Martin Ferguson, President of the ACTU.
Comrade Mandela, and supporters of peace, freedom, and equality. It is with great pride, Nelson Mandela, that I welcome you to this celebration by Australian working men and women of your visit to Australia. Throughout your years of imprisonment and ongoing struggle by the African National Congress, Australians from all walks of life have made a contribution to your fight against the horror and injustice of a society based on racism. The trade union movement, I am proud to say, has been at the forefront of that struggle. Our Prime Minister said on Tuesday that the Labor government in Canberra has taken many initiatives in seeking to assist the people of South Africa, be it through sports and cultural bans or trade boycotts. But I say this, if it had not before been for the Australian trade union movement initially imposing such bans, and by doing so raising the consciousness of Australians at large, perhaps progress may not have been made in this area. Similarly, in 1971, and it's not all that long ago, the union movement was at the forefront of mass action against the Springbok tour in Australia. People were horrified each evening as they watched television and saw ordinary Australians attacked by police horses in Melbourne, where we meet today, for speaking out against the question of apartheid and rugby play behind barbed wire. That is not what Australia is about, and nor should South Africa be about that. Perhaps as a result of those actions, Australians finally began to realise what it was like in South Africa. Further, through a feeder, the ACTU's overseas aid arm, the union movement has also been able to give practical support to the ANC's cause. Nelson Mandela, the working men and women of Australia hold you and the ANC in high esteem. You personally are an example of human courage, dedication, and perseverance. In our own small way, we believe that the union movement in Australia has contributed to your release and the commencement of a process by which the barriers will be broken down, but we also acknowledge, as you have reiterated this week, there is a long way to go. As you yourself acknowledged on your release from jail, there is this need for a strong and independent trade union movement if South Africa is to go forward. It is in this context that I remind you today of what the President of the South African Congress of Trade Unions said in 1979 in his introduction to the history of the South African Congress of Trade Unions. And I quote, "Our struggle will not stop until the workers of South Africa have achieved their objective, total liberation of all who live in our country, irrespective of race and colour, total liquidation of all forms of domination and exploitation, and the establishment of a just and democratic society in South Africa." The history of the South African Congress of Trade Unions is justly entitled "Organise or Starve," and organise we shall, not only in South Africa, but worldwide, to ensure that justice is done once and for all in South Africa. Nelson Mandela, the Australian trade union movement stands with you in your fight to liberate all who live in South Africa. The union movement in Australia will continue, if necessary, through industrial action, political pressure, and humanitarian aid to assist you and your people in overthrowing the brutality of apartheid and in building a new South Africa.
You're listening to 3CR coming to you live from the Melbourne Town Hall, bringing you live Nelson Mandela's speech to the Australian Trade Union Movement. Currently we're listening to ACTU President Martin Ferguson.
And I simply say in conclusion, welcome to Australia, and hopefully at long last we'll ensure that as a result of this process and ongoing struggle, power will finally come to the people of South Africa. Thank you.
Now, as you can hear, Nelson Mandela is standing before the crowd, and again, the crowd is up on their feet and cheering and welcoming Nelson Mandela here to Melbourne. In just a minute, we'll be hearing Nelson Mandela's speech.
You're listening to a live 3CR radio broadcast from October the 25th, 1990, featuring the historic visit by Nelson Mandela to Melbourne. He spoke to the Victorian Trade Union Movement at an address at the Melbourne Town Hall.
Mr. Chairman, our comrades, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a greetings from the President of the African National Congress, Comrade Oliver Tambo. His attachment to the labor movement inside and outside South Africa is undoubted. He is one of those leaders in South Africa who was produced and fashioned by the tradition of militant resistance. And in our country, the liberation movement realized quite early in its history the importance of the labor movement. I will return to that just now. But I must add that I also bring you a greetings from the entire membership of the African National Congress, including its National Executive Committee. I also bring you a greetings from the Congress of South African Trade Unions, which is the largest labor federation in the country, and which is part of the democratic formations around the African National Congress. I have indicated that the African National Congress realized the importance of the labor movement quite early in its history. The first trade union in our country was formed way back in 1924. How many of you were born by then? I was. It was the Laundry Workers Union and the cooperation between that union and the African National Congress was right from the beginning very strong, because the leader of that union was himself a prominent member of the African National Congress. In the 40s, we had the Non-European Council of Trade Unions, which was led by J.B. Marx, a member of the National Executive of the ANC and a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of South Africa. One of the biggest strikes which they organized was the mine strike of 1956, in which almost every mine in the country closed down. The authorities were not only harsh in their attempt to suppress that strike, but that strike had led to one of the most important political trials in the country, where the leaders of the South African Communist Party and of the Non-European Council of Trade Unions were charged with sedition. Among them was Mr. Bram Fischer, who was himself a member of the Communist Party of South Africa, the son of a judge president of the Orange Free State, and during his time, a leading rugby springbok. That alone will show you the caliber of the men who led not only the Communist Party of South Africa, but also of the trade union movement in the country. The African National Congress also had leading members involved in that strike and who were charged for sedition. Later, after the South African Council of Trade Unions had been suppressed, and that is in 1955, was formed the South African Congress of Trade Unions, SACTU. That was an organization which differed radically from any other trade union which had been formed before, because in spite of the cooperation between various trade unions in the country, these were formed mainly on racial lines. It was in 1955 when SACTU, the South African Congress of Trade Unions, was formed, that for the first time we had a labor federation which was formed strictly on non-racial lines. That coincided with the publication by the African National Congress and other political organizations in the country of the Freedom Charter, which set out the principles on the basis of which a democratic South Africa would be formed. That policy document was a most devastating attack on all forms of racialism in our country. We declared that all population groups in the country would have equal status before the law, that any preaching of racialism, either directly or indirectly, would in a new South Africa be declared a criminal offense. We declared that as far as the public sector in the country, there would be no racialism of any shape of kind. But the African National Congress had the foresight to know that cultural autonomy is something extremely important, both from the point of view of enriching our own culture and from the point of view of encouraging not only just diversity of culture, but of satisfying the cultural ambitions of each particular population group. We then provided that each population group would be allowed to practice its culture, to have its own schools, if it so desired, to teach in its own language, and to follow its religious system. In the light of the turbulence, the turmoil that is happening in various parts of the world, I think it was very wise for us to make this provision. But in the 80s, there was another significant step in the course of building our labor movement in South Africa. Because by then, SACTU, which had led the workers in the country, had been severely crippled by the government, and they were now operating from abroad. They went into exile as a result of the persecution by the regime. There was then in the 80s formed COSATU, the Congress of South African Trade Unions. It is this organization which today is the biggest labor federation in the country. And it is an organization which is part of the Congress movement. And it has staged the most stirring strikes in the country and other forms of mass action. I am therefore grateful to say that the link between the African National Congress and the labor movement in South Africa is a very strong one. I well remember that the labor movement of this country was among the very first, if not the first, to take a solidarity action in line with the people of South Africa in the course of their struggle.
You're tuned in to a live 3CR radio broadcast from October the 25th, 1990. Featuring the historic visit by Nelson Mandela to Melbourne.
It was the labour movement of this country in the early 50s which supported the dock workers in this country who refused to unload South African ships. That was a decision which created a great deal of excitement, which gave the people of South Africa in their struggle a lot of strength and a lot of hope. It was difficult to understand how workers thousands of miles from our shores could take the initiative, the lead, among the workers of the world to pledge their solidarity with the people of South Africa. The feeling that we are not alone, that we have millions of workers behind us, is a factor which has propelled us, notwithstanding the most brutal form of oppression which we face in our country. Throughout, since 1912, every South African government has tried to destroy the African National Congress, or at least to cripple it. Not only have they failed in that resolve, but we have emerged to be the most powerful political organization in the country, inside and outside Parliament. We do not merely claim the fact that we are making a very visible impact in the political scenario in the country. One of the things which we have regarded as important above all others is the fact that if an organization is to grow, then it must be committed to mass action. In a country where you have no vote, where you cannot determine your own destiny, the only answer which the people have is mass action. And that is the reason why throughout our lives there have been several political trials, treason trials, incitement, sedition, and so on. It is because we can never change the political system until we exert mass pressure on the government. And in this regard, we have been assisted tremendously by the labor movement throughout the country. We have never thought that divisions among the people, no matter of what kind, are the luxury we can afford when we are faced with a brutal government insensitive to the aspirations of black in the country. And therefore, we have mobilized every opposition, irrespective of the political affiliation of that organization. And that will explain to you the reason why from the 20s we have had a solid alliance with the Communist Party of South Africa. Many people, and some of them very loyal to the ANC, have questioned our alliance with the Communist Party and have asked us to break that alliance. I must, of course, confess that there was a chap way back in 1946 who also called for the expulsion of the Communist Party from the ANC. He was very disappointed and humiliated because that call, which he made with some of his well-known and very prominent leaders of the democratic movement today, that fellow was humiliated because the members of the Communist Party themselves in that conference where this call was made never answered. That call was rejected at the instigation of leaders who were in fact from their point of view anti-communist, but who respected the tradition that the African National Congress is the parliament of the African people, and that anybody, irrespective of his political affiliations, was entitled to be a member of the ANC, if only he supported if only a member pledged himself to support the struggle against racial discrimination. The members of the South African Communist Party those days, especially a man like Moses Kotane, who was the general secretary of the Communist Party at the time, people like Dr. Dadi, who was a member of the Central Committee, they were big. They never condemned us. What they did was to come to those who put forward this resolution and to say to them, we are with you. We are against racialism, racial oppression. We are fighting the government. That is why our party is being persecuted. And that is why communist parties are being persecuted everywhere in the world. What is your quarrel with us? When somebody is approached in that fashion, not in the presence of a pavilion, but in your private office, in your private house, in your own house, you are likely to drop all your guards and to listen to reason. Let me confess that one of the men who was associated with that resolution is standing before you. I was convinced that an alliance with all political parties in the country against racial oppression is something very vital for us. And one of the reasons for the strength of the African National Congress and the liberation movement in South Africa is because the African National Congress has succeeded to unite almost every black man in the country to focus attention against racial oppression, which has denied us our aspirations. We have gone further. Not only do we now cooperate with certain political parties like the South African Communist Party, the Natal Indian Congress, the Transvaal Indian Congress, we have now thrown the membership of the ANC open to all population groups. And when I see this gathering, I am immediately reminded of gatherings in our home, because our meetings are non-racial. You find all population groups, and the number of whites who are joining our movement is growing every day. I have been warned by my delegation to take no more than 10 minutes in this meeting. But I sincerely hope that they will excuse me, because if I am reading a formal speech, then of course they are able to time me and to tie me down to that speech. But when I am pouring out my emotions in a gathering of this nature, where we have been received so warmly, and where our struggle has always received the fullest support of the people of Australia, especially the Labour government and the Labour movement in this country, it is difficult for me to time myself as my delegation requires. But I must close my speech, my remarks, by briefing you very shortly on the latest political developments in South Africa. You are entitled to know so that you can relate your future support to our struggle, to the political developments which are taking place. As you probably are aware, the African National Congress had been urging the government since 1986 to sit down and talk to us. They eventually agreed, and we have now had 2 summits with the government in which we have discussed and succeeded to remove all the obstacles which we had identified which make negotiation between us impossible. The African National Congress, Umkhonto weSizwe, the South African Communist Party, and other political organizations in the country have been unbanned. Political exiles are returning to our country. Political prisoners are being released. The state of emergency, which gave arbitrary powers to the police, has been lifted. We have insisted on the end of political trials and the repeal of all repressive legislation. The way is now open for us to take another positive step in this direction. In our view, the way forward now, the next step, is to identify the people who are going to be entrusted with the task of drawing up a democratic, non-racial constitution for the country. There is, however, a clash of position between that of the government and ourselves. When the government banned the ANC and other political organizations, they created political institutions for blacks and asked them to get involved in operating these institutions. There were many who agreed to serve in these bodies, who enabled the government to tell the world that the whole political issue in the country had been settled, who were prepared to serve white supremacy in the country. The government's position is that these men, by virtue of the fact that they serve in these bodies, are entitled to be among those who are going to determine the new constitution for the country. They are so numerous, so much so that if we agreed to that, then the African National Congress would be in the minority right from the beginning of the process. We have rejected that. What we say is that democracy in the West is based on the electoral principle. Democracy can only operate if the organs of government are democratically elected. And we say the people who are going to be given the important task of drawing up a democratic constitution for the country must be elected in democratic elections. we say this is a task that can only be given to people who enjoy credibility and legitimacy. Their decisions should be supported by the masses of the people, black and white, throughout the country. Any other system would spell disaster, and we reject it. Nowhere in the world which boasts of democracy can you have a case where the people who are going to form a society, a democratic society, should be handpicked by the very people who are responsible for denying the masses of the people their basic human rights. We cannot destroy apartheid by maintaining some form of apartheid. And we have a powerful case. We have no doubt whatsoever that our position is superior to that of the government. That has been our position. In order to facilitate the way forward, we have decided to suspend the armed struggle with immediate effect. When we did so, we explained very carefully to the government that there is a fundamental difference between suspending the armed struggle and calling it off. We have not called off the armed struggle. All that we have done is to say to our men, please remain in the barracks. Don't shoot. But we have made it clear to the government that if the government shows a breath of faith and decide to sabotage the peace talks, or if they decide to drag their feet, we will, without hesitation, call out our men and continue the armed struggle.
You're listening to a live 3CR radio broadcast from October the 25th, 1990, featuring the historic visit by Nelson Mandela to Melbourne. He spoke to the Victorian Trade Union Movement at an address at the Melbourne Town Hall.
I must repeat what I said only last night in Sydney. The tradition of militant resistance in our country has produced a new generation, a generation that is so committed that they are prepared to buy freedom with their own lives. And I concluded my remarks yesterday by quoting from Shakespeare, and I think this is what I should do today. Those who were at the meeting yesterday, Gary and my delegation, please put cotton wool in your ears. Shakespeare has said, cowards die many times before their death. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders I yet have seen, it seems most strange that man should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. Thank you.
Yeah, you've been listening to Nelson Mandela speaking live at the Melbourne Town Hall in an address to Australian trade unionists, and in fact a crowd here of about 2,000 people who've turned out to greet Nelson Mandela here in Australia. And at the moment Nelson Mandela's been given a bouquet of flowers. As you would have heard him mention in his speech, he was down to speak for 10 minutes, but in fact he's spoken for about half an hour, which means it's now 5:30, and usually time would have been time for us to hand back to the studio, but we will continue with our broadcast here on 3CR. Coming up, you'll be hearing from Tracy Onus, who's the trade union Aboriginal liaison person at the Victorian Trades Hall Council, and a bit later from John Halfpenny from the Victorian Trades Hall Council. At the moment, Bill Kelty is about to hand a donation to the ANC from the Australian Trade Union Movement. And we'll be staying here with you on 3CR and bringing you more of this live broadcast in welcome of Nelson Mandela here to Australia. And Nelson Mandela talked about the history of the union movement in South Africa, how the union struggle and the general struggle for freedom of black people in that country have been one and the same. And it's certainly been true that one of the ways in which the state has acted against the freedom movement there has to be been by using various regulations and security acts against unionists, either by removing unionists, banning them from organisations, or by crippling those unions by banning those organisations themselves. And in fact, other sorts of repressive legislation has been brought against trade unions in South Africa, most recently in 1988, some repressive legislation that I think we could identify with here. Such legislation as banning sympathy and solidarity strikes, against making them against the law. I think we call them secondary boycotts here. Also laws that workers cannot strike over the same issue within 15 months, and that bosses can take unions to court for damages and losses. Again, issues that we're familiar with here in Australia, but used particularly in order to crush the struggle of black people in South Africa. At the moment on stage we're hearing from Bill Kelty, and there's a large crowd of people around me here on our broadcast spot here up on the balcony. On the stage of the Town Hall we have not only the ACTU banner, the ANC banner, a banner welcoming Nelson Mandela, but also the Aboriginal flag, the Koori flag, flying above all of those on our stage here at the Melbourne Town Hall. And whilst we're waiting for Tracy Onus to come to speak on the platform, we might hear from another one of our union delegates who have been involved in the struggle here, talking about their involvement, John Rose from the Plumbers Union.
I'm talking to John Rose from the Plumbers. G'day, John.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, can you just tell us what sort of support the union movement's been giving to the South African struggle over the last few years?
Yes, we've got a long history of supporting the struggle that's taken place in Africa, not only with ANC but also with SWAPO, and we're very, very pleased to have been a part of that struggle. Our history with our involvement with ANC would probably go back at least 7 years, probably even further, but 7 years would probably be a very, very prominent era. The white supremacists in Africa were trying to offshore because the writing was on the wall, and trying to offshore their ill-gained money that they'd collected over those years in exploitation. And one company, Pick and Pay, were going to build a hypermarket out at Taylor's Lakes. And people who are familiar with Melbourne would understand that that's a thrust in the northwest area where a big community is being built. This hypermarket was going to be an integral part of that satellite type of program. We heard about it after a request from ANC to intervene, and we put a ban on it.
That was the plumbers, was it?
That was the plumbers union, yes. We tried to get a lot of support, but it wasn't forthcoming. But you would be absolutely amazed at the people who were pro-Pick and Pay, and due to libel, I won't name their names, but the very prominent people who were supposed to be from the left were approaching us and saying, look, they have got no problems with the push by the black majority to gain equal rights. They are a very, very good company, and you shouldn't be taking this issue. We took our advice from the people who were there, ANC. And in fact, the owner and the manager and who owns Pick and Pay flew out in a special jet to Australia and offered us to come to Africa.
And we'll just have to leave that interview now, because now we're going to hear from Tracy Onis.
Our Koori elders, Mr. Mandela, sisters and brothers, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, and others. It is indeed a pleasure to be able to welcome you, Mr. Mandela, to this part of our country. It is not often that Australia plays host to such a distinguished visitor who has endured so much for the principles of the rights of individuals and the rights of Indigenous people. There has been a degree of controversy about this visit, and a lot of it from Koori's who have taken this opportunity to create a fuss about our plight here in our country, and who believe that any publicity is better than no publicity. I say to you, sir, that by far the majority of Koori Australians are great admirers of what you have done, what you have suffered through, and are very supportive of this visit. We also seek your support and assistance for our struggle. To this end, we offer our services in providing the information on the real truthful situation of Koori's across Australia. So that in being more aware of our circumstances, you may be able to further assist us in our struggle for rights that are and should remain basic for the fruitful well-being of each and every person and peoples. It is a fact that it has been terrific that you have been here. However you will leave, but our struggle goes on. Governments come and go, but our struggles go on. So we must bear in mind that as the situation changes in your country and your commitment and hard work bears fruit, that our endeavours in our struggle remain positive in our country. Again, welcome and thank you for your time in our country.
And person for the Aboriginal community in Trades Hall. And I have Lisa Belair back with me here. And she's just personally thanked Nelson Mandela on the stage there. And shortly we'll be hearing from John Halfpenny giving a response to Nelson Mandela's speech.
John Halfpenny, the Secretary of the Trades Hall Council.
comrades and friends, thank you, Nelson Mandela, for visiting our city and our state. Thank you for your words of appreciation about our small but consistent contribution to the struggle for South Africa's freedom. Trade unionists in Victoria, like our brothers and sisters around the country, form a small part of the international trade union movement, which is united in its opposition to South Africa's apartheid regime. Your comments this evening and recent advances made by the African National Congress, which you so forcefully represent, fill us with both pride and humility. We are proud, proud to be part of, a small part of one of the most dynamic movements of our era, and we are humbled by your recognition of our contribution. Some of the recent events within South Africa, including your release from detention and the unbanning of political organisations, emphasise the importance of us strengthening our solidarity with the African National Congress. That strength and solidarity must include intensifying our efforts to maintain effective sanctions and boycotts for as long as your people need them. You, Nelson Mandela, have already stated that sanctions will be needed until the process of dismantling apartheid is irreversible. This must surely mean nothing less than one vote, one value, and the substantial restructuring of the South African security forces so that they are unable to frustrate the will of majority rule. But however one might describe the irreversible breakdown of apartheid, I hope that I can give you this assurance that the trade union movement here will be guided only by what the African National Congress describes as the irreversible breakdown of apartheid. As you mentioned earlier, the Australian trade union movement has a rich tradition of support for national liberation movements, and many, many unions and trade unionists have taken direct industrial action as a contribution towards international solidarity with their brothers and sisters around the world. When you leave us this afternoon, you'll receive the freedom of the City of Melbourne. I am sure that everyone here and tens of thousands of other Australians all hope, and we will do what we can to help ensure that you and your people very, very soon receive the freedom of South Africa. Thank you.
John Halfpenny, the Secretary of the Victorian Trades Hall Council, giving the response to Nelson Mandela's speech. And Lisa, I think we can see from up here that Nelson Mandela is now leaving the stage.
Yes, well, Nelson's going off to get the freedom of the city.
Do you know exactly what that means?
No, I don't, but it's meant to be more significant than the key to the city.
3CR programmers Deb Welsh and the late Lisa Blair, hosting the historic address by the late Nelson Mandela to the Victorian Trade Union Movement at Melbourne Town Hall on October the 25th, 1990. A podcast of the Nelson Mandela broadcast can be found in full on the 3CR website, 3cr.org.au.